rise. The Minnesota Court of Appeals is back in session. Judge Cochran, Judge Siegel, Judge Peterson, the Honorable Gene Cochran presiding.
Good morning. You can go ahead and be seated. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals by ITV. Can you hear us okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. If at any time you have a problem hearing us, let us know. And if we have a problem hearing you, we'll let you know. But it appears to be working well right now. This is the last oral case on our calendar today. It's State of Minnesota versus Scott Allen Leip. Did I pronounce Mr. Leip's name correctly? Is it Leip or Lip or Lippy?
Leip, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. So counsel will each have 15 minutes for oral argument. Counsel for appellant will have an additional five minutes for rebuttal. And if counsel can introduce yourselves when you start your argument, as well as the client you represent, we'd greatly appreciate that. You can proceed when you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Brian Geis, and I represent the appellant in this matter, Scott Allen Leip. May it please the court. Today, the court is being asked to consider whether treatment of pervasive mental health conditions is more appropriate than commitment to the commissioner with an unknown outcome. Our judicial system is not flawed.
Counsel, before you get much further into your argument, I'd like to clarify the issue or issues you're raising on appeal. And the reason I'm asking that is because your brief in the conclusion asked that the dispositional departure by Judge Senek be affirmed. But that the dispositional departure was in the original sentencing order, and that order is not on appeal here. What is on appeal is the order resentencing and the order vacating the resentencing order. So could you clarify for me what issue or issues you are raising here on appeal with regard to the resentencing?
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. I am asking that the resentencing be vacated and that Judge Senek's sentencing with departure be affirmed.
And what is the basis for your argument?
The basis for the argument, Your Honor, is that the impetus for the second sentencing was my client's state of limbo in the Otter Tail County Detention Facility. And his state of limbo, if you will, was not occasioned by his own doing. In other words, if the weaker links upon which our judicial system depends had worked correctly, Mr. Leip would have attained mental systemic.
But did you raise this argument in your brief? Are you arguing that the district court erred in resentencing on that basis? And did you raise that argument in your brief?
Your Honor, I believe absolutely I did. I pointed out that Mr. Leip was unable to attain the mental health treatment as prescribed by not only a psychiatrist of 30 years, but as endorsed by Judge Senek. And there were a number of reasons why he was unable to attain that mental health treatment. Human Services screened Mr. Leip and screened him out for receiving mental health services simply because Mr. Leip was willing to accept treatment.
So how are you arguing that the district court erred on resentencing? Just trying to clarify again the issue that, or issues that you're raising on appeal.
The state contends that Mr. Leip did not enter treatment and therefore should be sentenced to the Commissioner of Corrections. Mr. Leip was unable to receive the treatment that was prescribed, again, by Dr. Ascano and endorsed by Judge Senek.
But
does that answer your question?
I certainly understand that your client was caught in Catch-22, which is really unfortunate, but I'm still not clear on the error that you're alleging that occurred by resentencing. How the district court erred in resentencing.
It seems to me, Your Honor, that in resentencing, the district court should have released Mr. Leip in order that he could attain the mental health treatment.
Well, what evidence was there that the mental health treatment was available? I thought the issue here was that the appropriate treatment couldn't be found.
It's not at all, Your Honor, as far as I understand it, that the appropriate treatment could not be found. It's that it was unobtainable by Mr. Leip because, number one, he didn't have insurance and wasn't able to get that because there was no specified release date. Number two, he did not have a caseworker because the Department of Human Services screened him out because he was willing to go to treatment, and the detention facility was either unable or simply refused to assist him to obtain the necessary treatment. Judge Senek endorsed that Mr. Leip would simply go to a community behavioral health hospital, which would have been available to him had he a caseworker or had Human Services
Yes.
So can I?
Thank you.
I just want to interject with a quick question here. So if there had been no vacation of the original sentence and the judge had just taken Judge Senek's sentence, I mean, Judge Senek does conclude, you know, from his sentencing transcript that if treatment can't be arranged or isn't available, the only alternative we have is to execute the prison sentence. So does it matter that Judge Senek's sentence was vacated and there was a resentencing? Or do we get to the same result either way?
Your Honor, I believe that it does matter because Judge Senek stressed that Mr. Leip was deemed in need of treatment by a psychiatrist with over 30 years' experience. Then Mr. Leip is screened by a team from Human Services as also prescribed by Judge Senek. However, Mr. Leip was screened out by that team. And I think it is important to note that no one on that team is a psychiatrist. No one on that team has 30 years experience. I was gravely disappointed by the outcome of the screening process by the Department of Human Services. And the only reason that they provided for not affording or providing Mr. Leip with mental health help was that he was willing to go. That is literally the only explanation that they gave for screening him out. So I do not believe that Judge Senek's order should have been vacated or annulled or overturned by his succeeding judge, Judge Miller. Judge Senek was very familiar with Mr. Leip, having encountered him on numerous occasions in the years leading up to Judge Senek's retirement. Judge Senek himself was very hopeful that the outcome of the screening by Human Services would have resulted in treatment being offered to and received by Mr. Leip. That turned out not to be the case.
Counsel, I agree that Judge Senek recognized that inpatient treatment would be appropriate for your client, and that was made as part of a probation condition, but Judge Senek also said that it's the only step available at this time, but with the understanding that if treatment is not available, the only alternative we have is to execute the prison sentence. So here it appears that the district court found at resentencing that there really isn't any alternative available, and so the only option was to execute the sentence. And how is that an abuse of discretion?
I don't know, Your Honor, as though it is an outright abuse of discretion. Had Judge Senek allowed Mr. Leip's release conditioned upon his entry into treatment, then certainly Mr. Light would have been able to obtain that treatment. And that is one of my requests of this court, that Mr. Light be released and be placed on probation, be given a certain amount of time within which he would successfully enter into and complete mental health and chemical dependency treatment. At this time, Your Honors, I yield the floor to County Attorney Olson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ben Olson. I represent the state of Minnesota, the respondent in this matter. I think the court has clued in on the points that I wanted to raise. One of the questions that was asked was, does it matter that there was a resentencing? And I assert that the answer to that question is no. And the reason I say that is because the result really is the same, regardless of whether Mr. Light's probation was revoked under Judge Senek's sentence, or whether Judge Miller basically resentenced without probation. It's clear, I think, from the record that the treatment that Judge Senek contemplated for Mr. Light was unavailable for a variety of reasons.
But wasn't, I mean, this really is a catch-22. It's through no fault at all of the appellant in this case that he's sitting there in jail for a whole year. And what did the county do aside from say you don't meet criteria for commitment because you said you're willing to go get treatment?
I agree, Your Honor, that the fact that Mr. Light did not end up in an inpatient treatment facility was not at any fault of his own. I think it's clear from the record that Mr. Geis, on his behalf, made basically every attempt that he could have. He tried to get medical assistance to pay for treatment. He tried to find alternatives, but those roads all ended in the same place. He wasn't able to go for one reason or another. But there is case law that says if treatment is unavailable, even if it's not at the fault of the defendant, that probation can be revoked. Those cases I shared with counsel, they're not in my brief, but it's State versus Thompson, 486 Northwest 2nd, 163, Minnesota Court of Appeals, 1992, and State v. Morrill, 492 Northwest 2nd, 539, again, Minnesota Court of Appeals, 1992. Very similar facts to this case. One of the cases, defendant was ordered to probation to complete sex offender treatment and could not do that at no fault of his or her own. I believe it was a male. The other case, I don't think that the type of treatment was specified, but I think it was mental health treatment. Again, that person was not able to obtain treatment through no fault of their own. The Court of Appeals found no issue revoking probation, essentially on the understanding that probation was only decided upon. That was the disposition because the treatment was so important, and that's the exact scenario we have here. It's very clear from Judge Senek's rulings that if not for this treatment, that it's that would have been necessary for Mr. Light to serve his sentence. So I share the court's concern that Mr. Light wasn't able to get the treatment that was recommended for him, whether that be the Department of Human Services doing via their screening determination, or because he couldn't get medical assistance, or because he didn't have a case manager. However unfortunate that is, I don't think that demonstrates an abuse of discretion on behalf of Judge Miller.
Counsel, in your brief, you argue, you address whether the original sentence was or was not authorized by law. Appellant, it doesn't appear to me, really raised that issue. It doesn't appear that appellant's brief argues that it, or addresses that issue. So is it necessary for this court to address that issue?
I agree that appellant doesn't raise that issue in its brief. The reason that I made that argument is because that's the reason that Judge Miller decided to vacate the original sentence. I think that body of law makes sense in this scenario because Judge Miller found that the...
But do we need to even address that in our opinion, given that appellant didn't address it and raise the issue in his brief?
I think if this court finds that, so my, I guess the way that I'll phrase the, my response is my initial argument is that Judge Senek's order was not set forth with enough specificity to be a complete or unambiguous sentence, and therefore Judge Miller had discretion under Rule 27 to vacate it and to resentence. My alternative argument, which I've already made, is that even if Judge Senek's original order was in compliance with Rule 27 in all respects, Judge Miller didn't abuse his discretion because the result would have been the same, essentially, if the state would have filed a probation violation instead of a motion under Rule 27, and the parties would have argued whether or not treatment was available. The court could have certainly revoked Mr. Life's probation under those two cases that I was just talking about, and the result would be the same.
Thank you.
Yes. You know, this case is kind of unique. The arguments that appear in my brief are very limited, and I think that I have made the points that I wanted to make with regard to the outcome, what would happen, you know, if Judge Senek's original order was reinstated, and whether or not Judge Miller had the ability to revoke probation even though treatment for Mr. Life was unavailable at no fault of his own. I'm not sure that I have any other substantive arguments to make. I'm certainly willing to answer any of the court's questions at this time if there are any.
We have no further questions. Thank you for your argument.
Yes, thank you.
Any rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honors. Minnesota Statute 609.1055 states, in pertinent part, when a court intends to commit an offender with a serious and persistent mental illness to the custody of the Commissioner of Corrections for imprisonment at a state correction facility, the court, when consistent with public safety, may instead place the offender on probation and require, as a condition of the probation, that the offender successfully complete an appropriate supervised alternative living program having a mental health component. Judge Senek's sentencing complied with Minnesota Statute 609.1055. But for the failure of others, and by others I mean humans, services, I mean medical insurance providers. The judge's order was unable to be fulfilled. So my client was in a state of limbo for approximately 1 year, at which time Judge Miller resentenced Mr. Light because of, quite frankly, the failure of others who should have been accountable under this same statute. In any event, Mr. Light's plight would have easily been corrected had he been allowed release to then be afforded insurance and the assistance of human services while no longer in custody. He could have quickly gained admission to a community behavioral health hospital. That treatment quite likely already would have been completed by this exact date. Thank you, Your Honors.
Can I just ask one? Can I just ask one quick question? So were motions brought before the court prior to the current ruling to try to get a date certain for the appellant's release so that the catch-22 of not being able to get public assistance, medical assistance would be alleviated? Not necessarily relevant, I don't think, but I am curious.
And quite honestly, Your Honor, I do not recall at this exact moment.
Okay.
I apologize.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you again.
All right. Thank you to both counsel for your arguments, and thank you for participating by ITV. We will look closely at this case and issue our opinion within the statutory time frame.
Thank you.